Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training.
I read your book and that was enough for me. Not what you say, it's how do you say what you want in the fewest amount of words? That is the art of writing. Like, how do you get your point across as clearly and as quickly as possible? And so that was a huge, huge lesson for me. If you change one person's life with your book, one person, it's all it takes and it's worth it. I think everyone in their life should write one book because then you have a further heightened appreciation for books and music and the arts because you realize how difficult it was to create.
Hey, Chandler Volt here, and joining me today is Brian Lubin. Brian is one of my new friends and client at selfpublishing.com, friend here in Austin, Texas. Super sharp guy. You may have heard of his podcast. It's called the Action Academy Podcast, and he also has a business by the same name. And so he's launched a podcast. He's got a business, Action Academy, helping people with real estate investing. He comes from the corporate world and quit the corporate world so that he could travel, create financial freedom through real estate investing, now helps other people do the same. This is a fun fact I saw in the research for this interview. Number 8 out of 5,079 reps in a Fortune 500 sales organization. So he's got some sales chops too. He's the author of the new book, absolutely killing it. It's called Passive to Passionate, How to Quit Your Job, Grow Your Wealth, and Turn Passions into Profits. I video version for the YouTube crew. I know you got that cover nearby. Let's hold it up.
Let's go, baby.
Look at that beautiful book, From Passive to Passionate. He's already got, I want to say like 250 reviews or something, 200 plus reviews.
Yeah, we're creeping up on 300.
Yep, next stop. So welcome, Brian. Great to have you here.
Dude, thank you so much for having me, man. This writing a book is the hardest thing I've ever done. And by the end of this podcast episode, every single person that's listening to this show, that has been listening to this show, is going to get up off of their freaking couch, off of their chair. They're going to start writing the book. If they haven't signed up with you already, they're going to, because we're going to shamelessly promote all of this and everything that you do. And then at the end, we'll also just get them financially free so they can quit their job, travel around the world, do whatever they want to do and promote their book. If that sounds fun, guys, buckle up. We're about to have a hell of a podcast episode.
Well, let's go. We got work to do. So you said writing a book was the hardest thing you've ever done. Why'd you do it? Like, why'd you decide to do it? And how did you see this fitting into the business that you're building?
Yeah. So there's a macro answer and a micro answer. The micro answer, the actual tactical reason, is I just woke up one night legitimately and said, it is time. It had come from multiple times of people that I knew, liked, and trusted that were authors themselves telling me, wow, you should write a book on that. Wow, you should write a book on that. And while my normal podcasting flow is talking about financial independence, buying real estate, buying businesses, this is my first one talking about books. But I would start with that as especially if you're writing a nonfiction book, as a wonderful tip for people listening. Pay attention to who tells you what, and especially if they are in the author arena already, if they see an idea of yours and they say, hey, you should write a book on that, you should listen. Because I had multiple best-selling authors, including Amy Porterfield, where I was on a podcast with her, and she said, I talked about going from passive income to passionate income. And she goes, I got goosebumps. She's like, that is a book. And I said, well, if I write it, Amy, will you be on the back cover? And she goes, absolutely. And so she promoted the book and everything. So it was wonderful. So I had a year and a half of people saying that. It's hard to find an original idea. You know more than anyone. And you guys have done a really wonderful job of it. It's hard, especially in the nonfiction world, to find an idea that hasn't been, you know, tried, twisted 900 different ways. And so this was my spin on it, to where it was my one unique thing that I could talk about, passionate income, which is what we coined. And we wrote the book on it. So that's the micro. The macro was I wanted a living, breathing, walking, running freaking business card for my business for the back end. And we have so many people. We only serve 10% of even my audience. It's the top of the top, six-figure employees wanting to become seven-figure entrepreneurs. And we have thousands of people that don't have access to the money to afford that, or they don't have the time, or they don't qualify for membership. So I'm like, our goal is to help a million people, just like you guys have a goal to publish a certain amount of books. We have a goal of helping a million people go from employee to entrepreneur. And in order to do that and reach that end macro destination, I was like, we need scale. We need eyeballs. How do we get this? And a book was the best way that we could figure it out.
Love that. Shout out Amy Porterfield. If you guys want to check out the episode with Amy Porterfield on the Self-Publishing School podcast, check it out. She goes behind the scenes on how she used that book to, if I'm remembering correctly, I mean, she did a massive launch. It might have even been a multi-million dollar launch for her business on the heels of her book, which is pretty crazy. You talked about using the book to make a bigger impact and to scale for your business. And, you know, we call it a silent salesman. The book's out, bringing back lead sales and referrals for your business. You don't have to say a thing because you said it once. And then the book keeps saying it for a really long time. You talked about the concept of passionate income. What is that? And what's the path to that that you guys teach?
Well, Chandler, you're living it today. And a lot of people in the financial world, and I'll be careful not to make this a financial podcast, even though we will talk about the back end economics of publishing books.
Yes,
because
please.
When I was going through this process and I was going through this journey, as most of you listening to this podcast, I was very new to this world. I said, not only do I not know how to write a book, how to format a book, what does traditional publishing look like versus self-publishing? What are the economics on the back end? Where do I actually make my money? Because I'll tell you how much time I put into this. It was 1,137 hours is how much it took me. We went through 19 rounds of editing. I had 274 contestants for cover design that we finally narrowed down to the winning cover, which you can judge a book by its cover 100%. And it is very important. And by the end of it, if you put a dollar amount to all of that, along with the investment in your company, like I probably spent, you know, well over $10,000 doing this book. And so we'll talk about the back end, but passionate income is when you are finally out of that job that you hate and you have passive income. People have heard of that. Buy real estate, get rent. Okay, you don't have to do anything, therefore it's passive. But once you get to a point where you're out of your job, then you're like, now what? And that's where life begins. So people are on this mad dash to be financially free, but you can do that in 2 years with some concentrated effort. You have a whole lot of life to live afterwards. So Chandler, what you do today, like you probably work harder than you've ever worked before, but you love it, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's passionate income. So passionate income is how do you get paid to do what you would already happily do for free? So the Japanese call it your ikigai. It's the intersection between what you're great at, what the world needs, what the market wants, and what you love. So that's passionate income. So I think we've talked enough about buying sticks and bricks and buying all these freaking houses and businesses, man. I'm like, if you want to open up a freaking coffee shop, like let's get you financially free so you can go do that and not have to worry about profit. So that is why we did the book. And another side point that I want to kind of steer the conversation towards is, you know, a lot of people, when I was writing it, said, well, you're not going to put your best stuff in the book, right? And this is a huge topic that we can hit on here. Especially with the book and when it comes to content. And I said, no, you are wrong. If you want a book that is going to promote your business, you better put everything in the book, your best stuff in the book, and you better lead with it, brother and sister, because if you don't make your free stuff or your low ticket stuff better than everyone else's paid stuff, there's no chance that you're going to get a client or an intro call. So I'll pause there because we can go down that rabbit hole really quickly.
Yeah. I love telling because our authors ask about that all the time, right? Is, well, hold up. Should I keep this out? So they're kind of wanting more. And we'll tell them, hey, give away all of your best stuff for free and people will pay you to tell it to them again. It's the best stuff. They read it and then they realize, okay, I read all this stuff from Brian. A, he's credible and legit. So I want to work with him. B, I don't want to actually do this myself. I want to get his help. So I want to work with him. Right. And so I love that we're values aligned on that. Let's maybe backtrack a little bit. At what point in the process of consideration did you hear about us? How did you hear about selfpublishing.com? And why was it something that you're like, hey, I want to do, let's work together?
There's actually a really cool underlying lesson to this. And it's called the reticular activating system, or RAS for short. Whenever you guys get clarity about what you want or who you want to meet, you will be shocked how that person appears in your life or that opportunity. So the instance is if you're buying a new car and you pull out of the car lot and you've got that car, all of a sudden you start seeing that same car everywhere on the highway, right? So same thing applies here. So I decided I want to write a book, right? And I know nobody in the publishing space. So I was in Austin, Texas, and I was just telling the entire world, I want to write a book. This is what I want to do. And I told my friend Aaron Amuchastegui, and you had been on his stage speaking. He goes, oh, I've got a buddy that does that. He just came and spoke. He's like, let me introduce you. And so he linked me and you up. And then you and I also met, you know, I think a week later, I think it was literally this time a year ago, like South by Southwest. We met at like a Noah Kagan thing.
You're right.
Yeah, ironically. And so at that point, I was just like, I'm seeing this guy everywhere. Let me look into him. And then I went through and started like listening to the podcast that we're on right here. And I started doing some research. And I was just like, man, I just need to get on the phone with this team. So that's where it started. If you get really clear about who you want to be, where you want to go, and who you're looking for, you'll be really shocked at how they start popping up.
Mm. And then at what point, because I feel like I remember us meeting in March, and then maybe you signed up in August, September area. What point was it where you said, okay, this goes from this thing that I'm thinking about doing, I'm planning on doing it, to it's like from the why to the why now? At what point was it where you're like, all right, cool, it's time to start working with it, with these guys, and you were full steam ahead? Like, what was the trigger for that?
Distribution. So there's front end, back end. So there's the there's the art, and there's the science. There's the creative, and there's the distribution, right? So I didn't need you guys to help me write the book. I read your book, and that was enough for me, because my business is Action Academy. That's what I do. So I just chunked everything down. We had an online course that we charged $2,000 for previously, which is the core of the business. And I just took that. I already had the modules. Basically, I was like, okay, these are chapters. So I broke it down into 24 chapters, 2,500 to 3,000 words a chapter, 2,000 words a day. I'm sitting down. This is my time block to do it. Let me get this sucker out. And like, let me get the first draft finalized before I begin this journey with Chandler and the team. That was my personal preference. I know that you guys also take people that are in the beginning of the journey. But for me, I didn't want to waste my time. I didn't want to waste anyone else's time. I was like, let me get this first draft out, so I'm not another one of these statistics of the people that say coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And that first draft, getting that thing ready, which was hard. And then editing, plot twist, is harder. But that getting that first draft good enough to where I paid a lot of attention and did a lot of research. And they said, keep going with your first draft until there's nothing else that you can physically change about it. And then that's when it's time. And then that day, I called your team and I said, okay, let's go. I'm ready to get this thing edited. Walk me through the process. What does this look like? Rest is history.
That's great. And so I guess there's a couple things I would kind of highlight and call out there. First one, if you don't have the self-discipline of Brian, you should work with us before you get your book draft done.
Makes sense,
because we can really help with that. And especially if you're not clear, because I think you had a clear concept and idea and you began with the end in mind. A lot of people don't think to do that. So they fumble around. They A, don't get their rough draft done, but then they B, write it, but they don't follow the four P's, right? Person, pain, promise, price. So it's like they're not writing to a specific person with a specific pain, making a specific promise. And so if you don't do that, well then, and we end up working together, you gotta, the first thing when you hop on a call with one of our coaches, we're probably gonna rock your world and you're gonna be excited, but then also pissed because now you gotta go back and rewrite the whole book, right? And so that would be like my kind of disclaimers for folks who maybe aren't in that camp like you were, Brian. And then I would say the two call outs that you had is A, everything gets easier and you start to see light at the end of the tunnel when you finish your draft. So that is the milestone where we see, I mean, obviously we've published thousands of books and we see that milestone be the one where when someone finishes their draft, they're going to do the rest of this stuff because they now believe that it's possible. But when they don't, and that's where most people fall into the camp when they don't finish is pre-draft phase, then they don't get it done. And that's why I always say it's so funny. It's kind of like exactly what you said. The hardest part is getting your rough draft done, because that's really, it's just the hardest part because nobody, or because a lot of people don't do it. But the real hardest part is the editing.
Yeah.
And it's only not, I only say like, it's not the hardest part because most people don't get there. But when you get there, you realize this is way harder than actually writing the book, because you just kind of feel like, you know, was I drunk when I wrote this? Like, what is this? It's like, I can't believe I thought this was good. And so can you What are one or two lessons that you learned in the editing process that you might share with folks that can help them navigate that better and create a better book?
So first and foremost, what you just said, I want to double down on and completely validate. If I were to go back and I had not done any content, I was not already a business owner, I had not gotten product market fit or hadn't my idea validated, I would 1000% recommend using you guys from the get-go, because you need that guiding hand, you need that accountability, you need that structure. The reason that it worked for us and me specifically was I'd already done 2,000 videos of content. I knew how to package content. We'd already spent 100, 200 hours on making an online course. We already had a business we were running, and we knew exactly who we were speaking to. And I had them paying me money already in my group. And so I had that captive audience to really go and just be like, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Over and over again. And if any of you, it doesn't necessarily need to be your business. If it's an email list, if it's your Instagram following, ask them for help. Be like, what do you want? What do you need? And then that's how you be able to validate the idea. Don't guess. If you guess, you're going to do what Chandler just said, go back and rewrite the entire book. I promise you. Same applies for business. So for editing, first things we did is took out, like, the process of removal is harder than the process of addition emotionally, because when you're writing, you're just trying to get to that 60,000, 70,000 word count. And so there's a lot of filler there. But then as you're removing, you're saying, what the hell is I talking about here? I'm rambling. And then B, you also have parts that you love, but then the editor, you see a fresh eyes on it and they're like, this is garbage. And you're like, oh, okay, I was excited about that part. You know, and you don't need to take, you don't, like, the editor's word is not law, but for the most part, they're pretty correct, where you can ramble and go off a different tangent. So the removal is crazy, because the game of writing is what I learned afterwards is not what you write, it's how, not what you say, it's how do you say what you want in the fewest amount of words? That is the art of writing. Like, how do you get your point across as clearly and as quickly as possible? And so that was a huge, huge lesson for me, because in the beginning, I was just blindly doing it. So we did the professional edit. Then we did, what was it? The copy edit. So we did two rounds of that through you guys. And then what we did was actually pretty interesting. And I got this one from Tim Ferriss. So I chopped up the book into individual chapters, 24 of them. And what I would do is I would send each chapter to two different people. One of them would be the rookie, one of them would be the rock star. So for our business chapter on business acquisition, if you want to buy a business, I sent it to Walker Dibble, who wrote the book, like Buy Then Build. And then I also sent it to a person that was in the process of buying their first business. And so I would talk to Walker and be like, is this factually correct? Is there anything that you would add or remove to this from a professional standpoint? Then I'd go to the rookie and I would say, is there anything that's confusing here or anything that needs to be elaborated? Now, this is from a nonfiction perspective, but that was the most important phase of editing that we did, was doing that, because then we had both sets of eyes on the things and we had made sure that it wasn't too complex. We did that with each chapter. And then by the time we finished, we had the polished product.
That's good. I hope you're loving this episode so far. So if you're serious about writing and publishing your book, we would love to chat with you and help create a custom plan. All right. So all you need to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule. Schedule a 45-minute consultation with one of the experts on my team. All right. Let's implement what you're learning in this episode and let's see how we can help with your book. Go to selfpublishing.com/schedule.
I like that a lot. You said, how did you phrase that? You said the rookie and the who?
And the rock star. Yeah.
Rookie and the rock star. Okay. That's a fun concept. So it's the beginner and the advanced, and kind of making sure that it reads well for both of them. And that kind of reminds me, it's a different concept, but similar in writing written content on blogs. And, but it also relates to your book. Is it called a dual readership path? Is you read for the skimmer and then you read for the reader. Oh, sorry. You write for the skimmer and you write for the reader. And so some people are just going to skim that blog post, and you need to have headlines and catchy images and graphs and stuff so that it appeals to them. But then some people are going to read every single word. So you need that full detail so that it appeals to them. So kind of similar concepts on how to appease different markets with a singular piece of work. The other thing that I wanted to mention or emphasize that you mentioned previously is starting from an online course. So if you're listening to this right now, if you're watching this right now, you've already created an online course. You already
wrote the book.
Created the draft.
draft of the book. Yeah, you already wrote the book. You just didn't know it yet, because the way that you structured that course in modules is probably the sections. The lessons are the chapters, probably. And so you've got an unfair advantage that you can go from course to book. So I feel like that's kind of, we've talked about all the writing stuff. I'd love to talk marketing. I know you used our 6-week pre-launch and you executed it better than just about anybody I've seen, at least in the last while. You got a ton of reviews and just built a bunch of buzz for the book. So how did you lay out that pre-launch, and what worked the best in terms of maximizing your launch and selling more books?
So I just interviewed Noah Kagan on my podcast, and he's a mutual friend, and he just did Million Dollar Weekend. So that was a wonderful book. And he had really good advice that I would echo, which is finish the race hard. By that point, when it comes time to launch, that's when a lot of people burn out and they kind of half-ass the launch. The launch is everything. So you need a, like, that last 100 yards of the race, like, you better be sprinting that last 100 yards. And that's what I forced myself to do. It came down to the mark, and it came down to the wire. And this has been, like, you know, 9 months. It's like, basically I did create like a child here, you know, like over 9 months you're working, you're editing, and then finally it's ready and you've got the cover figured out. You've got everything set up on Amazon. And so what I did is, you know, there's another quote, I forget who said it, but the quote is like, do things that do not scale. So we talk about scalability a lot, but then when it comes down to actually like doing the things that matter the most, they are unscalable. So I could have hired a virtual assistant. I could have had somebody in my team do it, but I texted 5,049 people, like, personally. And I know that number because, wow, I put it on a spreadsheet. And every single day I'm like, all right, I'm going to do 50 to 100 a day. You know, I'm just like, I'm going to knock these people out. And one by one, you know, I was asking them, I was like, hey, like, would you be like, I was thinking of you, this is actually me, like, would you be willing to help with the launch? And I was strategic about who I asked for help with the launch versus who I asked for a 5-star review. So the most people I asked for a review prior, and that was like game changer, because the review is gold when it comes to a book. And then I had an entire CRM list that I made. I'm like, okay, who has podcasts? Who has newsletters? Who has social media following? And then I was proactively doing the Russell Brunson framework, the Dream 100, basically. And Amy was included on that, to where I was going down this list and I was making sure before it was time for me to ask, when I was in the first beginning process of writing my book, I was like, who are the 100 people that could promote this book to make the major difference? And I was engaging with them once or twice a week. I had it in my notes. I had an alarm set, like, comment on Amy Porterfield's post, like, comment on this person's story, like, engage with them. And Russell Brunson does this with his book launches as well. So I did that for 6 to 9 months leading up to it. I was like, how do I get in with these different people on social? Like, this would be a perfect person to help me promote it later. Like, you need to dig the well before you're thirsty. You know what I mean? You need to lead with value and authentic relationship before you have an ask. So Alex Hormozi has a wonderful quote. The longer you can delay your ask, the larger your ask can be. So I had a lot of wells that I'd been digging for 4+ years that I decided to finally make that ask. And then, like, this was the ask that I did. But tactical advice for people is, you know, dig before you're thirsty, dig the well before you're thirsty. Make that list of that top 100 dream people that would promote your book, or the top 100 newsletters, or the top 100 websites, or the top 100 social media accounts. Pay attention to those. Go on your phone. Every single person that you've talked to in the last 2 years should know that you're publishing this book and you need their help. And Chandler, there's a really important point of all of this that I want to hit on. This process was not easy for me. It was single-handedly the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life, which sounds crazy, but the process of me asking people for help was like driving a dagger through my eyelids. I hated it. And I come from sales. I'll ask people for business all day, and I'll talk to people for business all day. I'll get told no 9 million times. I don't care. But the minute I'm asking my friend for a favor, I feel like I'm a burden. Yeah. And so many people that are listening to this are in that boat where they're thinking about writing the book, or they're about to write the book, or they're at their last sprint of writing the book. And they're like, I want to ask all my friends, but I feel like a burden. And if you take one piece of advice away from this podcast over anything, the piece of advice that I would give to you is the piece of advice that my aunt gave to me that kept me going, when it was 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night, and I was still texting. I said, I can't do this anymore. She goes, keep going. And it was this. She said, by you not asking for help, by you not asking others for help, you are directly denying them the ability to feel the joy of giving. Yeah. By you not asking for help, you are denying others the joy of helping other people. And I was just like, wow. And I'll tell you, man, out of every single person, 5,049 of them that I texted, did every single one of them reply? No. Did every single one of them help with the launch? No. But I'll say the vast majority of them said, dude, thank you so much for thinking of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love to do this. Mm-hmm. And man, that was the hardest thing for me to do. And I'm glad I did it. And it was a really valuable life lesson.
That's great. To a couple of takeaways there. I mean, individual reach outs. This is, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while now, you've probably heard that theme and you may have skipped over it because it's not sexy. You're like, well, hold up, Ryan. I'm waiting for like the secret.
The email list.
The thing that's going to take me 2 minutes and is going to sell thousands of books. But if you go back to all of the most successful authors on the planet that have been on this podcast, and time again, it comes up the individual reach out and doing those one-on-one outreaches. And so that's what I would encourage folks. If you're in the launch phase, reach out one-on-one to get reviews, reach out one-on-one for support. And I love that reframe of people love to support and help. It's mm-hmm. like, think about it. If I had a friend who launched a book and they didn't tell me about it, I would be pissed. Right. I'm like, what are you talking? Like, why don't you just text me? I'll buy a copy. I'll leave a review. I'll post about it. Like, whatever you need me to do. And so I think I too, kind of similar to what you're saying, Brian, feel like a burden. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're going to feel like I'm just too promotional or that I'm just asking them for favors and all this stuff. And people want to help. So if you're in your launch phase, if you're beyond the launch phase, ask for help, ask people one-on-one to help with your book. Brian, what's next? How do you go from like, what is the full year of the, you know, we talk about the 1 year launch. So there's the 1 week launch, which I think you nailed. Then there's the 1 year launch, which is how do you make sure that you don't drop it like it's hot and just stop talking about this book? So what's the plan for you over the next few months, next however long, to keep promoting the book? And then how are you doing that in a way that's also going to drive customers for your core business?
Yeah. So right now we are at about three, four months post launch. People listening, we launched on December 1st, 2023. So it was my birthday. And we had a cool little launch party too, which I would highly recommend. Highly, highly recommend. I almost didn't do it because I was like, this is cheesy. This is corny. But then everyone else said, dude, if you only write one book in your life, you're only going to have one book launch party. And I was just like, you know what? You're completely right. And I'm so glad that I freaking did that. We had like 80 people show up in Austin, Texas. It was super fun. But yeah, now we're coming up on 4 months here and we've sold, I think we're creeping up on like 4,000 or 5,000 copies. So I'm proud of that. My goal for the first year was 10,000. So the first year, that's my goal is like, let's move 10,000 copies, come hell or high water. Like, I'll do whatever it takes to move 10,000. And then if the book is good enough, then that 10,000 will take off. If you put it in 10,000 hands and it's got the organic, you know, like fire that it needs, then it will spread. If not, it's not good enough. And that's okay. Like, keep going. Like, you changed. If 27 people buy your book, that's 27 people whose lives are hopefully better for having read your book. That's already worth it. And I'll tell you, the economics here in a second, but I had one gentleman that called me and it was the first person that I didn't have that was like in my circle. So it wasn't somebody that was just like a yes man saying yeah, because, you know, like they already know me and we're friends, right? It was a complete stranger. He called me and he was just like, dude, I've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all 4 Hour Work Week and your book is up there with those for me. And I was just like, cancel everything. The race is over. That one phone call was enough for me. Like one person thought that. And I'm just like, dude, that made everything so worth it. So, you know, one person's life with your book, mm-hmm. one person is all it takes and it's worth it. But to make things a little sexier and to add like a headline to the podcast episode, right? So I just did the math. Our thing is $7,000 a year is our membership. So, right. Mm-hmm. So you don't really make that much money from book royalties. It's mm-hmm. it's basically just enough for us to cover the cost of advertising on Amazon. Mm-hmm. That's all we really use the royalties to do. We do about $3 3 or 4 bucks for a book is what we make on paperback. And then audiobook is a little bit more, et cetera, et cetera. But we had 15 direct signups for our business. We've been tracking it. I tracked it double for this podcast. That's $105,000 in recurring revenue within like 3 months post book launch. So I think that we invested maybe $10,000 overall with everything. So we 10x our investment by doing this already. And that's not with that many. It was a good launch. I wouldn't say it's a, like a otherworldly great launch. The launch that I did is very attainable by most people. It wasn't like 100,000 copies moved in the email sequence. You know what I mean? It was like a couple thousand copies.
Yeah.
We made $105,000 of recurring revenue from that. And that's just now, you know.
That's incredible. So. Especially in the first 3 months. I mean, so quickly. Any other economics that you want to share? How the book has helped the business or just any other economics behind the scenes?
Yeah, let me share how I formatted the book. So again, this applies more specifically to like business books or for books that you're using for a promotional purpose for your actual service or whatever you did. My thing just happened to be I left $250,000 a year sales job to travel full time around the world to build my own business. Pretty specific outcome, right? So I'm like, all right, I will write a book on that. So what I did, and what was super cool, is throughout my book, every single thing, every single chapter is designed to lead you to the email list or to my podcast. So what I did was I had these QR codes that I have situated throughout the book. And if I was somebody that was writing a book, I would 1000% use QR codes. So we had different QR codes throughout, and it would be like, hey, here's free gift. Free gift is, you know, we're talking about seller financing and real estate. Here's a podcast episode I did with my buddy that has $30 million of real estate talking about how he did this. Like, scan the QR code, take you over here. Hey, this is my Excel tracker that I use to track my goals and that I use to track the writing process of my book. Scan the QR code and we'll take you to get the Excel tracker. So I think that was huge. And then we have a direct offer in the book, which is scan this QR code and you get this, 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 and this. And like, this is how you apply for our backend business. Like, you need to optimize that. Don't just put it in text, like bring them into your ecosystem. You need to collect the email address because the backend marketing is where a lot of the dollars are made. I would share that. Yeah. And it's also a great way to get on other podcasts and to get your word out there. It adds some credibility and validity to you. Even if it's not like a New York Times bestseller, we hit Amazon bestseller number one in real estate, self-employment, career, and I think career guides. So that was super cool. But even though it's not like Wall Street Journal or New York Times bestseller, those authors still give you that nod of approval. Where they're just like, you're in the trenches with me. Like, you did what it takes. And I respect that. So there's a respect factor. And then the biggest way I see people make money from books is speaking, which I'm just now beginning to start my speaking circuit. But that is the largest ways for you to start doing keynote presentations different places. So that's the back end economics.
Yep.
But yeah, dude, it's huge.
And the speaking plus books, I mean, that's a big channel for us. That was millions of dollars in our sales last year. Probably at least, I'd say at least 3 million of our revenue last year was from mostly the speaking team, but then also me speaking and us in person and moving books, but then also turning that into paying customers. I guess final couple questions for you, Brian. First one would be, what was the most helpful part of working with us at selfpublishing.com? And what would you say to somebody who's thinking about it?
Definitely the 6-week launch. So like before launch, having everything broken down in the spreadsheets, like sequentially, it's, hey, do this, then this, then this. Here's where you want to list. Here's where we advertise. Here's what you shouldn't advertise. Here's how you set this up. It's like an entire Excel sheet. Freaking loved that. The editing process was wonderful. If I were to be doing another like self-publish, I would 1000% do this. There's not anything else I would use because it makes more sense for you guys to just be with the people that have already done the thing. Like let them handle all the rest of the stuff because writing a book is hard enough. Like, it's super hard and it's super worth it. I think everyone in their life should write one book because then you have a further heightened appreciation for books and music and the arts because you realize how difficult it was to create. And then you put it out into the universe and then you're like, please don't tear this apart. Right. So I would highly recommend and endorse what you guys do. Your team was wonderful. Everything about it was wonderful. And so now it's like up on Amazon. Like, I didn't set anything up on Amazon or anything like that. Like, they set it up for me and it's been super easy.
It's cool, man. That's so great to hear. It's fun. It's been fun seeing the behind the scenes of the journey. And I think it's just kind of crazy from us meeting about a year ago in person randomly at that event to then you working with us whenever it was, August, September, somewhere in there. And then to already getting the book done and seeing the fruits of it. It's just like very rewarding to me to just think about, okay, cool. This year, who are those people that I'm meeting that I'm going to get to talk to or bring on the podcast over the next year that have already made so much progress with their books? And I mean, it's a lot of credit to you because you took action on it, right? Action Academy, baby.
Yeah.
We take action. So on that note, where can people go to find out more about you? Where can people go to find out more about Action Academy? What's the best next step if people are listening to this saying, hey, I'd love to check out what you're up to, check out the book?
Absolutely. Check out Action Academy podcast if you're into real estate, investing, entrepreneurship, all that good stuff. We interview a millionaire every day. Pretty simple. I've podcasted every day for 2.5 years. We've interviewed, you know, I think over 500 millionaires on the show. We just ask them how to get financially free and they just tell us. Pretty simple concept. So Action Academy podcast is available everywhere. And then I'm at Instagram at Brian Lubin. I'm posting there every single day. They were up to 250,000 followers now, which is insane to think about. I guess I'm an influencer now. I'm up there. People respond to my DMs now that are famous. That's super cool. So made it. Mom, call her and let her know her child made it. And then lastly, from passive to passionate, how to quit your job, grow your wealth, turn your passions into profits on Amazon by the selfpublishing.com team. It is the step-by-step roadmap, how to quit your job, grow your wealth, turn your passions into profits. We teach you the mindset, the methods, the steps, how to attract mentors, how to buy real estate, all the stuff, all the way into growing your own business while traveling. So from passive to passionate in the Action Academy. That is me.
Game on. Brian, thank you so much, man. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast, wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right. Reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that. I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right. All you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step. So how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.